Mmm, it's good. Yummy.
Mmm. What are you eating?
Potato chips. You paying attention?
Are you ready to record?
I'm recording.
Oh, you are? Oh, okay. Are you eating?
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Oh. Oh, my God.
Who's this broad? Oh, yeah. Let's hear some bad singing. Let's go. Oh, there we go.
I recorded this. Wow, how long ago?
When you were 12.
Oh, I think that's great. Hey, get G right now. He's available right now.
Okay.
We've been coming for 10 minutes because then after that we have an interview with the CEO of Amore Coffee.
Oh, God,
hold on, guys.
What?
This is the Carolina Cadillo Show podcast. I'm Carolina.
Jeffy, I can't hear that song anymore. It drones in my head. That's worse than the That's worse than the Cars for Kids jingle.
No, oh, I love that song.
No, you don't.
You know what song's in my head, Jeff? Hold on a minute. Yeah. What song is in my head is Daddy Finger, where are you?
Nice.
Here I am, how are you? I mean, that song is in my head.
Hold on, my bean should be there. Hang on, I don't know why I'm not hearing it. Hang on.
Hello.
Oh, there you go.
We're back after 2 weeks.
My wife's singing baby songs. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. How
are
you?
Very good. How about you guys?
We're surviving, man.
We're surviving, yeah. Okay, we're quarantined.
You guys haven't reached out to me. I mean, have you guys been in quarantine from the show? I mean, you guys do the fucking show from home, really?
Yeah, we've been pretty much in the house. We've been shopping.
Yeah, you know what we've been doing? We've been updating. When you come to see this house, you're not going to recognize it, upstairs especially.
After you insulted my basement, I decided I'm going to clean the basement.
I didn't insult. I just said it looks like stuff.
It does.
What's your kid's name? I forgot. Buddy, Sonny?
Jackson.
Juan.
Yeah, so we're turning downstairs. I'm trying to turn it into a playroom for Jackson, so we're doing a lot. So that's why we took a little 2-week break from the podcast.
The whole house is a Jackson playroom. You know
oh,
that?
My gosh. We're being.
That's cool.
Was your house like that, too, at that age?
Yeah, that age, we have Fisher Price toys all over the place.
Oh, my God.
When they get into using Play-Doh, then it's going to be Play-Doh all over the
place. Oh, don't worry. He's mixed all the Play-Doh colors up already.
Oh, yeah.
There's no, you know,
oh,
it's
yeah.
all multicolored, you know?
Yeah.
And I told Carolina, did you eat Play-Doh as a kid? Did you eat it?
I ate it.
I told everybody.
I ate glue, too.
See? No, that explains a lot. Wow.
No, I'm just worried because sometimes I see him put things in his mouth. I'm like, what are you eating?
But everybody eats Play-Doh.
Nobody eats Play-Doh. I never ate Play-Doh.
You didn't have a normal childhood. You brought beans to school instead of, like, you know, peanut butter and jelly.
That's true.
Right? She brought Spanish food to school, she told me.
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand that Carolina's family was the whitest Latino family on the block.
Not really. Not really. Maybe my father was not my mother. So for lunch, you know, the normal kids take peanut butter and jelly or ham sandwiches. My mother would send us with a plate, a steak, beans, and rice.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you. And then she would also make, cuáquer, what I mean? Oatmeal.
That's the oatmeal.
Yeah, but the drink. We'd have to drink that. And people would look at us like, what the heck's wrong
really?
With you guys?
I can.
my friends looked at me weird because I was still sucking on my mom's titty.
Oh my God, with
at 12 o'clock, at 12 o'clock she had to go to school. Hey, come here, Sonny.
So, Wavine, Long Island is officially opening tomorrow, little by little.
Little by little.
How is New York? Because you're in the city, right? Or no? Are you still doing?
I'm in Fort Lee. I'm in Leonia.
He's in Jersey.
Oh, that's right. You guys are still working from home, right?
Yeah, we're still working from home. Out here, man, it's kind of crazy because most of all of Jersey is almost open and stuff like that. My neighborhood, my town, is the only town that is not opening anything. They don't care. They just don't care what Murphy has to say. They don't care about anything. They're not like we join the pool every year.
Right.
Yeah.
The pool's not open at all.
Oh.
So we don't know if they're going to open the pool at all. So, you know, I just went out to Walmart and bought a kiddie pool and put it in the backyard here in the building.
Yep.
Yeah,
people are looking at me kind of weird, but hey, man.
Yeah, your kids want to be out. Yeah, your kids want to be out. Jackson, too.
Other people are probably going to be in your pool, you know?
But Vita doesn't work. They're all...
No, I mean strangers. They're going to be dipping their feet in there, you know? Make sure nobody urinates in it, you know?
I know, right?
Be disgusting.
Oh, my God. So, what else is going with
wait,
you?
I was going to ask him, how much was the pool at Walmart? I got to go buy one, like 20 bucks, 30 bucks?
Right? Yeah, it was about 20, 25 bucks.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
The little plastic one, right?
Yeah, the little plastic. It fit. I bought the tall one, which me and the kids fit in there.
Oh.
Yeah, my neighbor bought, she bought one off Amazon. She said it's a family pool. I don't know what that, I guess that's the
little. I can't put here because, you know, it's way too big. But I bought something medium size. Oh,
You could start a whole business. That. Buy the family pool and start charging your neighbors to go in at $5 a shot and make some money.
Hey, Wabin,
lockdown money.
Wabin, I want to ask you. You saw that whole incident with the woman in Central Park, right?
Yes, Central Park Karen.
Yeah. So
Central Park Karen.
That's what they're calling her, Central Park Karen. So what happened was, Jeff, a woman was walking her dog. All right.
Uh-huh.
In what part of Central Park was that? I forgot what the name of the Central Park.
The good part.
I think it's called Ramble or something.
The Ramble.
So that part, you can't have your dogs unleashed. That's where a lot of people go bird watching.
I think all your dogs have to be leashed, no matter what, in Central Park.
But
right?
In that certain part, you have to have a dog leashed.
Okay, gotcha.
So a woman who works for, I told the name before, Jeff, Franklin.
Some big financial.
Templeton.
Yeah. So she's a high, she's got a high position. She's walking her dog. This man, okay, he's Afro-American, says, ma'am, you have to put your dog on a leash. She starts going on a rampage, all right? And she's basically going nuts, like, I'm calling the cops. You're trying to threaten me and my dog. And then he's trying to give the dog a little treat.
A dog treat.
And she goes, you're trying to poison my dog? It's like, Wabin, anyway, so she went crazy calling the police. And thank God he was recording. Because, Wabin, he might have been in trouble, you know that? Because it would have been her word against his.
Right.
But in the end, Jeff, she's now they. I heard rumors that she is fired, Wabin. I don't know if that's confirmed yet.
No, they gave her a leave of absence. Till everything calms down. See what they're gonna reevaluate it. The whole thing about this thing is, it's not the fact that the white lady was screaming at the black guy about, I'm gonna call the cops on you. Or whatever. It's that a black guy was bird watching. What fucking black guy bird watching?
Yeah, I don't know. That is the shaky part of the story.
This fucking guy was bird watching. I understand that shit from a black guy in North Carolina.
I mean, I bird watch.
Yeah. A black guy in New York City bird watching.
Yeah. During the lockdown, bird watching.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God.
Listen, if I would have been a cop, I went to her and I said, sir, what were you doing here? Bird watching. I say, shut the fuck up. You're stupid.
You're under arrest.
You're under arrest. Bird watching. Come on. Yeah. I was born yesterday, Mr. Black Man.
But you know what? Wabin's right.
I saw the guy, and he said he was bird watching.
No, but the sister did.
Wait. I did see that.
But the sister did say that he loves bird watching. But Wabin, did you see how she was treating the dog? She was
choking.
Practically choking him.
Hold on a second. A black guy bird watching is like a responsible Latino man with his kids. That shit is impossible.
Oh my God! Oh my.
Wow. Birding.
Oh my God!
They call it birding. Isn't that unbelievable?
I don't. Oh my! But anyway, so at the end, she said her life is now ruined because she's gotten like death threats. These massive.
She's gonna
of tweets.
Go. They're gonna make her go through like sensitivity training. They're gonna make her go work at the Apollo or something.
And
for
she
two
had
weeks.
She had to give back her dog too because she was getting
no,
so many threats.
No, she didn't give the dog up.
Yeah,
did she really?
You just,
yeah,
she was,
gave it up. Yeah.
Yeah,
she gave it up.
How long did she have the dog? How long did she have the dog for?
She had it since 2018, and she got it from a golden retriever.
Rescue, right?
Right.
So they saw her choking the dog and
lifting the dog up by the collar and like dragging
him. That's a shitty dog because a black guy is like that's some shit with some black guy, and that dog just wants to get away from the woman. Like, this is a crazy bitch.
Yeah, he wants to get away from her.
Can I come with you?
Hey, I want to go with the black guy that's bird watching.
The bird. I'll go with the birder, please. Exactly.
Fucking black guy bird watching. Fuck out of here.
Oh my God, that is so funny. But anyway, so we'll see what happens because you see all over Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, that video has gone viral.
I know, I couldn't believe it was everywhere. It got 12 million views.
Everybody, no, 20. It's up to 20 now.
Wow.
But now they said that everyone's calling the company, texting the company, all over Instagram. That's what's trending.
To fire
Karen Cooper. Yeah.
All right. None of their business. Fire Karen Cooper. Because she's a nut. She's a nut. She's, yeah. She's a lunatic.
But she's an executive who should know better.
Okay. There's a lot of crazy people.
Yeah. Anyway.
There must be. You know what I was thinking? It's such a. There's every news story. Everything is about Corona. So they were desperate for another story. And this is. It's not even like a much of a story, right? Is it really much of a story?
It's a story.
Again. It is a great fucking story because it's a black guy bird
watching. That's the only part of it that makes it, you know. Oh, and it didn't end in a bad way, you know?
Yeah, it's all okay, you know, a racist white woman and stuff like that. But a fucking black guy bird watching?
Oh, my God.
This pandemic is fucking up everything in the world, man.
There you go.
Hey, so I was also reading about A-Rod. And the reason why the Mets didn't sign him. Wibby, you saw that story, right?
No, I didn't see. Why didn't they sign?
Yeah, they didn't want to sign A-Rod because his agent, that Scott Boras guy, made intense demands. What were the demands?
What are the demands? Hold on, let me just...
They weren't even that bad. The Mets were just crazy. They didn't want to sign this guy because, you know, the Mets are cheap anyway. But they didn't want to sign him because he wanted his own merchandise tent, I believe, was one of them.
It is the great old Wupons. They are cheap.
Yeah.
Let me not get into their religious beliefs, okay?
Oh, nice. He wanted his own merchandise tent. And what did he want at Shea Stadium? His own office?
Yeah, he wanted his own office. And they also said that he wanted his own tent at spring training to sell his own line of clothing.
Right.
Anything that was his own line.
Right.
And they said no to that.
Yeah. And then they...
See, that's why the Yankees are the Yankees and the Mets are the Mets. Like, for example, if A-Rod would have said that shit to the Yankees... Definitely, they would have not signed him, but they would have said, listen, you know, there's a black guy bird watching.
maybe this trend will take off. Maybe this trend will take off in other communities. It won't be just white guys bird watching, you know?
Yeah.
Old white guys, too.
Oh, my God.
He's pretty young, this guy. He's young.
Yeah, of course. I think
that's what makes it even wackier.
He's in
not,
his 40s.
He's not 72 years old bird watching.
But he's lucky because his sister saw the video and she defended her brother. She said, yeah, he does bird watch.
Yeah.
And she's the one that tweeted everything out.
If I was a cop and this guy come up and says, sir, what are you doing here? I'm bird watching. No, sir, you're purse snatching, right? Not bird watching. Purse snatching.
You pronounced it wrong.
Hey, Wibby, can we call you back in 10 minutes?
We got an interview. We got to talk to some guy about his coffee.
I'm going to go bird watching.
Go bird watching.
All right, we'll catch up with you in a couple of minutes. Bye.
Go hang with your children. Be a good Latino father.
Bye.
All right. That was worth the wait in gold there to talk to him.
Did you want to go to a break or go over to the interview?
Oh, you know what? Let's take a break. We'll be right back with our guest,
Jim Fascina of Amore Coffee Company.
Okay, we are back.
Okay, let's get Jim on the phone.
I'm going to call Jim right now. Tell him he's live on the podcast.
Yes, I texted his agent.
He has an agent?
His publicist.
He's a publicist?
I guess. Well, you're the CEO of a company like that.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see what goes on. 1309. I got to remember that. Some things you got to remember. He's probably saying, who's Rainbow Auto calling me?
I know, right?
My phone comes up as Rainbow Auto, so if I call you...
You got to change that.
It's a business I run. I do auto restorations. He's not answering because it says Rainbow Auto.
Oh.
But I'm calling him right when we said we'd call.
Exactly.
All right. Should I text him?
Hi, this is Jim Fascina.
Okay.
I should have left a message, right?
Yeah, text. You know, want to text him real quick?
Let me text him real fast so he understands.
All right. All right, you want to just call him back and we'll leave a message?
Yeah, maybe he'll get that it was me calling.
Yeah.
What the hell happened here? Why doesn't it record that I just made that phone call? My phone does that lately. It doesn't remember that I just called a number. And in recent, it doesn't show up. Isn't that exciting? Black eye bird watching. Okay. Now he'll probably figure it out. The same number's calling him twice.
Jim Fascina, this is Carolina and Jeff from the Carolina Cadillo Show podcast.
How
are you?
How you doing?
How are you? Pleased to meet. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize the number coming in first.
Sorry, I know it comes up as my other company name. Sorry about that.
No worries, no worries. So, Jim, you are live on the podcast
We're
right
live.
Now. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Jim is the CEO of
Amore Coffee. So, Jim, we tried the coffee. It is delicious.
I tried the hazelnut cinnamon, I believe.
Yes, yes. Oh my God, that's amazing coffee.
Very good.
Fantastic. I am glad you enjoyed it. Fantastic.
So, Jim, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, your background.
So, my background from a career standpoint goes back almost 32 years. I started in the direct-to-consumer business coming right out of school and worked for companies like Kraft Foods and Nestle and Scholastic, all in their direct-to-consumer divisions, mm-hmm. where the goal was to sell product directly into the home and not through retail. After spending about 15 years on the corporate side, I opened up my own company called Ficina Marketing Group, which is a direct-to-consumer advertising agency specializing mm-hmm. in subscription products. Mm-hmm. Ran that for about 15 years, brought about 100 different companies to market. Sold that company about 18 months ago. But during that time, we also launched a company called Amore Coffee, which is a direct-to-consumer home delivery coffee subscription service, of which my partner and I co-founded in 2011. And we are servicing over 1 million customers.
Wow.
And having a great time doing it.
It's amazing. We tried it right away when we got it. It's amazing coffee. But, Jim, let me ask you, what makes your coffee different from, let's say, you know, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, other coffee brands?
You know, that's always a very interesting question because coffee is a really highly commoditized item. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we really do try to differentiate ourselves from being just another bean, another origin, different type of packaging. It's all in our service, and our service is all about getting coffee to you just as fresh as we believe we can, which means we're always going to roast in small batch roasts. We are going to use a 9-stage roasting process to make sure that we are roasting in the best possible way of delivering the best bean with the best flavor and best aroma. And then we are going to hand pack, and we will ship that to you utilizing 2-day priority mail. So we're trying to get coffee to you just as fresh as we can. So that's what differentiates us is fresh coffee versus coffee that may not be you know, super fresh.
How do you source beans? You know, like how do you actually do that process of figuring out which bean goes into which coffee? How does that happen? I always wonder because Dunkin' Donuts coffee has a certain taste to it. Starbucks coffee has a certain taste to it. Does your coffee have... I enjoyed the hazelnut cinnamon. I'm just wondering, does it have a particular taste, that bean you're using? Do you use different beans?
So just like a Dunkin' Donuts or a Starbucks, our blends absolutely have a distinctive taste, a taste profile that my partner and I have set years ago. And so we're always looking for beans in different regions from all around the world that are always going to lend to the blend and the delivery of the flavor and the aroma that we're looking for. So coffee is a, you know, it's a crop, it's a plant, and it will yield different types of flavors and aromas from season to season. So we are always looking for the best beans from the best crops from around the world to maximize the taste profile of the blends that we've put together.
Go ahead, Carolina.
Do you travel to countries trying different beans, or how does that process work?
So we have a master roaster and a master taster who does most of the coffee sourcing and the tasting and whatever traveling is necessary. But my partner and I do take opportunity to visit coffee growing regions and to look at particular crops. And so that's the real fun side of our business. And so, yeah.
Why does Jamaican coffee, why does that coffee cost so much money? Why is that so expensive?
So Jamaican Blue, it's all supply and demand.
Oh, okay.
And it's grown at certain altitudes in certain temperatures, wow, of which can't be replicated around the world. So and there's lots of different coffees that are unique in their origin and unique in their climate and environment. So single origin beans will always be priced at supply and demand, for sure.
You see, it's funny. My brother went to Hawaii, and then my mom went to Hawaii, and they came back with this Hawaiian coffee. I forgot how much it was per pound. It was super expensive. So I went online, and I said, wait, I can get Hawaiian coffee for much less money. And then I found out that I thought all Hawaiian coffee was premium, but apparently there's Hawaiian coffee that sells for a lot less. It's not the same as the premium coffee. So I guess it depends on where it's grown, that kind of thing. Same thing, altitudes and spots where they grow it.
Every coffee in every coffee grown region has their superior beans versus their non superior beans, of
interesting.
Course.
That's very interesting. I really thought that because it was Hawaiian. So where do you get your beans from? What countries make a mori with?
So it ranges from Brazil to Colombia to Costa Rica, ooh, to Tanzania. It is multiple different countries.
Wow. Do you have a favorite coffee of yours that you drink a lot?
So on the blend side, my favorite coffee is a Vigorosi. Oh. And so I like to drink Vigorosi black. When we can secure a crop from Costa Rica, a Terrazu, I really do enjoy Terrazu. So, but right now, one of my favorites that we're drinking right now is a single origin bean coming from Guatemala.
Oh, okay. My family's in Costa Rica, so when I go there, I haven't been there in a while. Their coffee is amazing. The bean's amazing. There really is.
Jim, what do you think of people? And I'm looking at her right now, my wife here. What do you think of people who drink decaf, Jim?
I love decaf coffee.
Are you suspicious of people who drink decaf at all?
I am not suspicious at all of people who drink decaf coffee.
Thank you.
I am not suspicious at all. And there are some real reasons why people do not like to drink a caffeinated beverage, but they still like the taste and the aroma of coffee. And so if you go through a decaffeination process, that is a good process, you're still going to deliver a fantastic cup of coffee.
Oh yeah.
So absolutely no suspicion there at all.
Okay.
And Amora does, we do sell decaffeinated coffee.
Does it have I always think it has this placebo effect, because Carolina will say to me, I need to wake up, I need a cup of coffee. And I say, what, you're going to drink your fake coffee again? I know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult coffee, but I call her decaf fake coffee. And then she drinks it, and apparently it does have some sort of effect. Maybe you're right, maybe it's the aroma, just the whole, you know, drinking coffee is a whole, it's a process for people, you know?
But does it have a little bit of caffeine in the decaf?
I don't know the exact answer to that, but I mean, when you are decaffeinating coffee, you are actually pulling caffeine out. So, you know, if there is hundreds of a percent of caffeine left, there's there is that possibility.
Right.
But I think you nailed it by saying that coffee is more of that ritual, and coffee is more of that experience. And so it is part of the kickoff of your day.
Yeah.
And so that's the wake up call.
And Jim, how many cups of coffee do you have a day?
Oh, you don't want to know that answer.
Really?
Wow.
I one of the reasons why we founded Amora Coffee, mm-hmm, is because of our love and passion for coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And good coffee and fresh coffee. Okay, because I drink, my partner and I, but I'll speak for myself, I drink a lot of coffee, and so I probably drink anywhere from 12 to 15 cups of coffee a day.
Wow.
I enjoy coffee.
Do you add cream, or it's all black?
It's all black.
Wow.
12 to 15 cups? Wow.
It's all black.
That's fascinating.
That is fascinating.
It really is. I'm just, you know, I think of coffee, and I look around and I see the domination of a Starbucks and a Dunkin', and you go to Jersey, there's Wawa, and I'm sure there's stuff out on the West Coast, you know, the places. But I always wonder, like, how tough it is. You know, in this age of the pandemic, I know people are going to probably, some businesses are going to go under, others are going to start. I always wonder, like, why, how hard would it be for me to start Jeff's Coffee? And how would it be to attract people to, like, a coffee shop? I know you're not in the retailing, but how tough would that be, do you think, to really get people to try my coffee over the stuff they're used to? 7-Eleven, for example?
So, wow, now you're looking for the secret sauce, but...
Yeah.
Don't worry, we're not going to do it.
No, I might do it. I'm wondering.
Here's the reality behind coffee. Coffee is very personal. Over 80% of Americans drink coffee, and it is they're drinking either black and hot, or they're drinking it cold, or they're using it as a base for a new beverage. It's highly personalized. It's highly personalized to taste. It's highly personalized to smell, your two primary senses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when you're looking at a Starbucks versus a Dunkin' Donuts versus a Wawa versus a 7-Eleven versus a McDonald's, they are all very, very different taste and aroma profiles.
They really are.
They really are. And you know, my experience has told me that if you love Dunkin' Donuts, you love Dunkin' Donuts, and you're probably not straying to Starbucks unless you had to, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Because they are very different. So for us, for Amora, the differentiating fact was for us to be able to deliver a different type of taste and aroma. And not everybody is going to like our taste and our aroma that we have designed, okay? And just like everybody's not going to like a Dunkin' Donuts or a Starbucks, just like in the wine business or in the spirits business, it's exactly the same. So it doesn't stop you from bringing a new product to market, okay? But when you bring that product to market, you're bringing value proposition, not only just in the taste and the aroma, but in the service,
right?
And how are you treating your consumers? Like right now during COVID-19 and everybody's at home, and you really do have quite the attentive audience at home right now, but on top of that, there are so many people who are used to drinking coffee at work or drinking coffee at school or stopping at the coffee shop on the way to work. And that's not happening in the same magnitude as it was 90 days ago. So like today, we're serving a lot more coffee at home,
so are we at home.
Yeah. Right. So you know, people are drinking more, we're serving more. We're selling more, but then here's what your unique value proposition has to kick in. It's like, so you're not looking to benefit off of the world's misfortune. Okay, what are you going to do to give back and pay forward during a time of global crises?
Right.
And so, like with Amora, we chose that we were going to provide discounts and free shipping handling for people who were joining. And so, and that's just, you know, for my partner and I, and my partner is more than my business partner. She's also my wife. Okay. And so for us, it's all about, you know, how can we service our consumers for the long haul? We're not here for the one and done's. Okay. It's, you know, we want to establish a relationship with you. And if you need to drink more coffee at home, we're going to try and help you do that, okay, without taking advantage of a situation.
And you are a subscription model, right? So I subscribe to get, and I get coffee every month. Is that how it works?
That is. So we are a subscription model, and when you subscribe, you can change the number of bags that you receive on a monthly basis, or you can change the frequency. You can change that to weekly, monthly, quarterly. You can skip any shipment. You could suspend your service at any time because maybe you're going out of town. And of course, we make it very easy to cancel because, you know, you never want to put somebody into a subscription where they can't have a very positive experience in trying your product. And if it's not for them, they want to be able to cancel.
I love that. That's great.
So that's really important. And then, of course, we have lots of customers who prefer not to subscribe, but they'd rather buy coffee, you know, a bag at a time or four bags at a time. And then they come to the store and they could go ahead and purchase whatever they want. And as a matter of fact, on our store today, because of COVID-19, where the product that we have from Guatemala right now, which is certainly one of my favorites that we're serving right now, we're giving everybody 40% off of that product right now. Ooh. Because we know people are drinking more coffee
exactly.
at home.
Exactly.
So let's help you out.
I'm gonna try your coffee for a week straight. I drank it periodically. I had like four cups last week, but I'm gonna try it every day for a week to get the distinctive taste in my mind. I know it's funny. I already have the distinctive taste of the cinnamon. Hazelnut. Cinnamon's, I'm a weirdo. I like flavored coffees. I mean, I like the coconut. I know the coffee elites don't like the, at least I always thought coffee elites don't really like the flavors, but I like the coconut. I like a blueberry coffee. You know, I like those unusual flavors. You know, that's just me, of course.
So blueberry, we sell a lot of blueberry coffee, and we sell it mostly during the spring.
That's your favorite, Jeff. That's your favorite.
And it's pretty funny because I wasn't sure whether our audience was going to like blueberry. They love it.
I'm buying a bag. I'm going to your website later. Is it amoracoffee.com? Is that how we get to you?
It is amoracoffee.com. A-M-O-R-A, amoracoffee.com. And the word amora comes from the backward spelling of aroma.
Oh, look at that. At first I thought it was a love.
Yeah,
love, because we were saying amore.
Yeah,
and I didn't look at the bag carefully enough, apparently.
The whole concept of Amora Coffee started with my partner and my love for good, great, fresh coffee.
Wow.
So love is the basis. And then so Amora, okay, has a basis of love. And it coincidentally turned out to be the reverse spelling of aroma.
Nice.
So that was kind of fun.
Wow. Jim, do you think that maybe down the road we'll see some Amora cafes?
So right now we do not have any Amora cafes planned. Mm-hmm. Right now we are really truly trying to service the consumer directly at home. And at home with coffee that we can get to you just as fresh as we can. And it's not available in stores. And so it really is the coffee of choice to bring into your home that's not overly readily available out in the public. It's really a special gift to yourself.
Right.
So Jim, let me tell you something. My husband is a very picky person when it comes to coffee. He is now a fan of your coffee.
Yeah,
he does love the coffee. So do you have a website, your social media, where people can actually reach out to you and purchase coffee?
Absolutely. So you can either come directly to our website, which is amoracoffee.com,
mm-hmm.
and you can subscribe or you can buy from our store single bags at a time. And if you're a beginner with coffee, you can even go on our website. We even have the a starter barista kit, which will give you a free coffee maker. We'll give you a free canister. We'll give you a free scoop. We'll give you free mugs. Okay, when you buy your first shipment of coffee.
By the way, I love the scoops. The scoops are nice.
Oh,
you
the
sent
scoop
us
is great.
One.
Yeah,
wow.
The scoop is beautiful.
That is nice.
Thank you. They're pretty cool. They're pretty heavy.
Yeah, they are.
It's a very heavy item. Exactly.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I love it.
I'm hoping she doesn't throw it at me one day. You know,
you have to watch out for that. But you know that scoop is designed to measure out exactly the right amount of coffee that you desire to your preference. We provide an airtight canister so that when you open that bag, and those bags are only packed in 8-ounce bags because we only want you to open a little at a time.
Okay.
And when you open the bag, you put it into the airtight canister, okay, so that it stays fresh, okay? And if you use the brewer that we give to you for free, then you have a brand new brewer. So we call it all new gear, or it's all new gear for your new coffee.
That's a multi-cup brewer, right? That's not just a single cup brewer, right?
It is. It's a 12-cup brewer.
I have a friend who's a big coffee snob. He's a big guy in the financial world. And he says, quote unquote, he says, the reason your coffee tastes so bad is because you have a shitty brewer. That's what he says to me. So, you know, I always thought, no. But he says, yeah, the brewer, he promoted this one they don't make anymore. I forgot what it is. But, you know, he's very snobbish about he doesn't like the Keurig. He says, that's not a way to make coffee. You know, but I guess to each their own, right?
But that's really true. That's really true.
See?
Because that comes down to the entire extraction side of coffee. And so if you go to our website, you'll notice that we do not have K-cups.
See?
We do not have single serve for a couple of reasons. Number one, when you're producing K-cups or you're producing single serve, you have to do so in mass production. Oh. And when you're doing so in mass production, that means it's going to be sitting someplace for a while before we can probably get it to you.
Oh.
So that's one.
That goes and that goes against your model there, yeah.
It goes against our value proposition. But the second thing it does is when you do put it into Keurig, it is now brewed at an extreme extraction, and an extreme extraction of forced hot water. Okay, and so that is the quickest, fastest extraction, but you're not capturing everything you really want from that grind. Okay, so the best way, truly the best way to extract. Okay, is to a pour over. Okay, you could use a coffee maker, a nice new clean coffee maker. Okay, and that's going to have a natural extraction at the proper temperature.
Gotcha.
Okay, so you're not scorching. Wow. Okay, but if you like cold brew, the real true best way of extraction is to use cold brew. We sell cold brew, and you put it in a refrigerator overnight, and it will it'll sit and steep for 8, 10, 12 hours.
Wow.
Okay. But by doing so in a cold mechanism, okay, you're leaving the bitters and you're leaving the acidity behind, and you're only pulling out the best of the taste and the aroma.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing. I learned so much today.
Yeah, you are smart and fascinating. I mean,
you are fascinating.
And I believe the sharks on Shark Tank would tell you you're doing the right thing by not going into retail. They'd say, no, stick with your model, stick with the online, because it's working. You have a million customers. That's great. And it was so nice to have you on here today.
Jim, thank you so much.
Well,
we love your coffee.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Please enjoy drinking the coffee, and we would love to have more customers like you who are going to drink the coffee every single day.
AmoraCoffee.com, everybody. So check it out. AmoraCoffee.com.
Jim, thank you so much for coming to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
a
lot. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. Wow, I learned a lot, didn't you?
Well, he was really fascinating.
I got to tell you.
Sometimes you get people on, and you can tell he's a smart business.
He knows his stuff.
Oh, he knows business. See what he said?
He knows his stuff.
See, he's right about that. I told you the Keurig isn't the way to drink coffee.
You always tell me that, and I believe you.
I knew it wasn't the right way to drink coffee.
Before we end the podcast, get with me now one more time.
That's why coffee's meant to drip, exactly. My friend Barry Ritholtz, he's a guy I went to high school with. He's a big financial guy, and he's got this whole thing on his website about why your coffee tastes bad. I think that guy got offended because I said the word shitty.
No, he's fine.
Okay,
no,
all right.
I want to tell Wibina a story.
He was very, very polite. What are you going to tell him?
This, I don't know if the Wibina heard about this.
He's probably training Natalia on the pole right now. We're interrupting him.
No, I'm actually eating my lunch.
Oh, okay.
You guys told me that you guys were going to call me in 10 minutes. I guess it was Latino.
Daddy, do I climb the pole now like mommy used to?
Stop that. Wibby, did you know this? The new way to get revenge on your ex is by hiring a porn star to yell at them.
What?
Yeah. If you want to get revenge on your this is the latest trend, right? The latest trend in revenge is what one dominatrix is calling spite porn.
Not, your news is getting weirder. I mean, first it was a black guy bird watching, now it's getting
yeah. That's true.
So so this dominatrix will make a video of them actually yelling at your ex about how bad she was.
Like on camera?
A video?
Okay. Wow.
Did you get that news from the Post?
No. I get it from other sources. You know me. I have different sources.
I get my news. I ask you that because usually I think that a writer from the Post is dating a dominatrix. If you look at the Post, every other story is about a dominatrix making money.
Is it really?
Yeah. So just look at the Post.
Did you see how many people have come forward claiming they could be one of Jeffrey Epstein's kids because his fortune is worth $600 million?
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's
130 people have come forward to say that they could be his kids.
I better call it too.
Where do I sign up for that? Just like food.
I know. You sign up at the same place you sign up for black man bird watching. Okay.
Yeah. I'll never forget this day.
Hey, so yeah, Lori Loughlin.
May 26th was the day that I read that a black guy was birdwatching. Holy shit.
Hey, listen, so Lori Loughlin and her husband are going to jail.
Oh,
Massimo Giannulli, right?
I don't know how you say his name.
So she is going to jail, I believe, for 2 months, and he's going for 5.
Yeah.
And they both have to pay a certain amount of money.
Yeah, that's like hell for them.
Can I tell you something? Why didn't you just plead guilty like the other people did?
No, they were angry.
What's the other chick from House Wives?
Felicity Huffman.
Yeah, she got 2 weeks in jail, but because they wanted to prove something, now you're fucked. You're going to jail for 2 months.
They were defiant. That's why.
Exactly.
They were
just, from the beginning, do you guys follow her daughter's YouTube channel?
I know, Olivia Jade, right?
Right. She was averaging $2 to $3 million a year.
Yeah.
Plus other, that's only on YouTube, plus the other sponsors. Listen,
Sephora,
making $2-3 million a year. I don't give a. I mean, he could write on stones, you know, like the Flintstones. I don't care.
I
he's making $2 million. He doesn't need to go to school.
Yeah, I don't know. That's funny. They had because they're Hollywood, you know,
because
elite
they want,
people.
Exactly.
They, right.
They want that.
Look,
that
my,
prestigious.
My
you know,
kid went here, right? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what it is. We're being. I mean, you my fine. Kid went to Brown University.
I understand that. I understand that completely. But listen, I'll introduce my kid. Look, all he does on YouTube is. Hey, he makes $2 million. I don't need him to have a degree.
Just like the Kardashians. None of them went to school, and they're billionaires.
Yeah.
But now Kim Kardashian is actually going to law school. She's working with Innocence Project and working with what's his name again, Jeff? Innocence Project.
Oh, I know the one of the OJ lawyers.
No. And so she's working with them, and she's actually helping people. I know she helped 2 people prove that they were innocent.
Oh, the guy in Revolver.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God, I forgot his name.
She's going to school so she could release bird watching black guys.
Speaking of which, I was just going to say, stuck. I just read in the paper Kanye West is out today. He's in Central Park. He's bird watching.
Oh my God! They say though that there is rumors of a breakup between Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Really? Because he's bird watching. By the way, Wabin, my favorite story of the day: an Indian man murdered his wife with a highly venomous cobra weeks after he failed to do it using a viper. He planted a viper in his wife's room a couple weeks back. She got bitten. She was hospitalized. This is like 2 months ago. She was hospitalized for 2 months. Well, since he didn't succeed, he got a cobra and threw it at her. She died.
Oh,
but
my God.
He threw a cobra at her.
Oh, my God.
The
really?
Worst thing is that he was arguing with the viper when he couldn't kill her. Oh, my God. I told you.
Oh
you're a stupid
God.
Viper, man. I got to get a cobra. You're stupid.
Indian man.
That's right. It's a very Indian guy. You know, he says, listen, I could have gotten a bird watching black guy to get my wife.
Hey, listen, so Matt Lauer, I don't know, he's been in news. He's coming back, I think. Jeff thinks he's coming back to TV.
I've been predicting for a while Matt Lauer is going to come back in some shape or form. You will see Matt Lauer again.
Wabin, did you see him in a post today? They said he's got a new tattoo on his arm that reads, hatred corrodes the container it is carried in. That's a tattoo on his arm.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm telling you.
Does he hang around with black guys that bird watch?
They've questioned some of Ronan Farrow's reporting on Matt Lauer. They have questioned some of the things he wrote. And Matt Lauer wrote a whole piece that they published recently somewhere about how he defended. He said he didn't have a button that locked the door. He had a chair that had restraints. No, he claims he didn't do some of the things that he did. You know, he had an affair with that woman, no doubt, you know.
Well,
but he's claiming. I'm telling you, you will see Matt Lauer again somewhere. I know you will.
Not at NBC, though. That's not going to happen.
No, not at NBC.
Hey, finally, KFC's coming out with a new sandwich.
Pornhub.
It's called Kentucky. It's a bigger version of their chicken filet. It's a huge piece of chicken.
They're trying to
with the massive amounts of huge pickles and mayonnaise. Thick pickle slices and mayonnaise.
Like the other ones didn't take off, like the donut chicken burger. Did you see that thing where it was two donuts?
They stopped that already? They stopped that?
Yeah, they stopped that.
Yeah. No one was buying that. No one was buying that.
Well, people like a lot of unhealthy food, though, you know, so unhealthy is popular.
So let's end it with this, okay? I just want your take. Do you think that we'll see a spike in coronavirus cases?
Listen, a lot of people are saying that the people that are dying off are the people that have gone into the hospital at the beginning of this pandemic.
Right.
You know, like yesterday, there were only like 78 people. But what really gets to me is that when you hear the news that, well, only 78 people died yesterday. Like, really?
That's still a life. That's still a precious life.
It's still a lot of people. It's still
exactly.
a lot of people. You know?
That's a lot of people.
Exactly.
You know?
This thing's killed a lot of people.
I don't.
When I hear them compared to the flu, this thing's a lot more contagious. And I know, I'm sorry, but I don't care what they say. I don't believe the figures about the flu. There's no way the flu killed as many people, because you would have seen stories about the hospitals being overwhelmed. You know what I mean? Or maybe the flu killed that many people over the course of a year. This thing's killed this many people in 2 months. So when they compare it to the flu, you're talking about the flu killed 80,000 people in a year. This thing killed 100,000 in 2 months. So
yeah.
It's very
yeah.
different.
Yeah. So
that's
anyway.
Why when I hear the flu comparison, you know, it doesn't quite fly for me.
Well, I mean, your kids have gone out, right, to the stores with you?
Yeah, we go out. I have to get them out.
Yeah.
The kids, you know, in here. Yeah. My daughter, like, later on, we're going to go out, take a walk. I bought a drone, so I'm flying around trying to look into people's windows with my drone.
Oh,
you
my
got a drone? You bought a drone? Really?
Yeah, I bought a drone. And we're doing stupid crap like that because we need to keep, you know, moving in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Something different.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh,
Jack,
I know. I've colored enough rocks, and I've colored, what else? Have you colored the kitchen table, the walls?
Everything would be. This little boy. But the thing is, that Jackson has not gone to stores yet. That's the only thing.
No.
He just stays in a car, no. go for rides, so go to the, you know, go walking with him. Other than that, no.
I saw some young kids in Costco and BJ's without a mask on, really young, like the age where they won't wear a mask. I was surprised, you know?
One thing that fits you Caucasian man is go bird watching. You know?
Yeah, it's fine.
Should do that.
You know, I have three
Jeff,
bird feeders now. I love the bird variety of birds I get in the yard. I love blue jays and cardinals.
And Jeff also,
are you like the idiots that travel up to the Poconos to watch the leaves turn? Jesus,
yes,
that's so stupid.
Yes.
By the way, that's called leaf peeping. If you want white people sports, leaf peeping.
And you also the other day, Jeff wants to buy a metal detector, Wabine.
I had a metal detector as a kid, Wabine. Remember the metal detector?
Oh, yeah, the metal detectors. Yeah.
I found some good things as a kid. Very nerdy, but I'm going to let Jackson do it as a kid.
Anyway, guys, we're out of here. If you want to call us,
516-637-3254.
We're back. We're all over Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at Carolina Cadillo. We love you. Please call us, all right, if you want to come on the podcast, 516-637-3254. Jeff, your info?
Oh, at Jeff Jensen Show on Twitter, The Real Jeff Jensen on Instagram, Jeff Jensen on Facebook, jj@optonline.net. 516-637-3254. Happy birthday to Carmen, one of our listeners. Carmen.
Oh, feliz cumpleaños. Jeff, Webin, your info?
I'm Webin on Instagram. Make sure you guys follow me on Instagram. Also, you can listen to me from 6 to 11 on Mega 97.9 and El Vacilo.
All right, guys, we love you. Again, we're back. Thank you for giving us a 2-week break, and I got a lot of texts. Where are you guys? We're just taking a little break. That's it.
Carmen El Chula, I believe is her name.
Felicidades. Happy birthday.
Yeah,
bye, guys. We're out of here.
Thanks for listening. All right, have a great day. Somebody's calling me. I got to get the phone. Oh, and thanks to Jim Fascina from Amora Coffee. Go to amoracoffee.com to get your coffee. amoracoffee.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. We love you.
Wicked. Say it again, my boy, selector.
The Carolina Cadillo Show is a JJ production.